Hi, everybody, and welcome to our 46th program. We are working on the great glamour of hatred. I was reading today that hatred, separativeness, and aggression are the three great sins of humanity, and we will come to that and take a look at that. I think they're on the three major rays. But for now, those of us who are gathered here, let's all reach out to each other on the plane of the soul and realize that we are united in our sense of participation in a work of service for humanity. On behalf of the hierarchy and in cooperation with them. And wherever we may be geographically, we sense our togetherness. We sense that we are in one field of consciousness, and in fact, that there is one, really, one being, if we can grasp that, who is conscious through a number of apertures. The one beingness of the one consciousness. That is what we want to make real to ourselves. So we are within each other's field, as it were, within the one field, and all the sense of being something or someone is really the sense of being one thing. Naught is but me. It's a great second ray mantra, which indicates inclusiveness. And when that inclusiveness is operative, glamour, which is always based upon the distortion which is experienced through fragmentation, separation, will disappear. So we are as if in the presence, let us say, of Master DK and his ashram, at least he introduced the methods, the formulas by which we could combat this all too human tendency of distortion, exaggeration, minimization, abandoning of the true realization of spiritual values. He introduced the occult way to combat this using the focused soul-inspired mind, vitalized by the other aspects of personality, and in that light, generated in that triple light. We shall see a light which dispels illusion and dissipates glamour, and also devitalizes Maya. I think a light just went on over my head here, but it's not too good for the image. Sorry. There we go. We commit ourselves then on this weekly basis, and as we're working in our on our individual tendencies towards distortion, which are hard to see, of course, we become so habituated to them that we don't detect them as anything unusual or different from the way the world appears. But obviously, other people will help us see where we are involved in distortion. And we can end that and see things in a true proportion. Humility will be then ours, a true humility which Master DK defines as an adjusted sense of right proportion. And I'm sure that we can find things in our life which are made too small or too little and do not represent the truth of relationships as they are. So we want to see with clarity, true proportion, an understanding of true relationships. And it is the pure reason of the plane of wisdom, the Buddhic plane, probably under a higher function of Mercury, which will reveal to us in the light of pure reason the nature of all relationships as they are, and not as we imagine them to be, not as we exaggerate them or minimize them, but the true nature of the relationships, the many relationships in which we are involved on our planet, between the members of the human race and between the kingdoms. We see, attempt to see in the light of truth. So we offer ourselves up in this attempt to see in the light of truth. And we'll sound an om together, committing ourselves to this work. Now we've been working in this glamour of hatred based upon the illusion of separateness or separativeness. We've seen the world has been much beset lately by catastrophic natural events. I think my guess is that we'll cover some of that tomorrow morning in our Ask program. Tuya will be leading that meditation. And it's at 5 o'clock a.m. GMT. So far, we've had these glamour meetings at the PM time, and they are scheduled in that way, but we may begin alternating them so that more people can participate. But anyway, next week they will be in the PM time, and the whole week will be PM, but we're still involved in the AM series. There, we've had some catastrophic events. There are probably some deeply subjective causes to these. The Tibetan has talked about the plague of insects, which sometimes visits itself upon humanity, and he talks about all of the unregenerate thought forms that the human beings are making and how they feed such a plague as this, and I think that we may discover that these catastrophic storming events will have a lot to do with human behavior from the occult perspective. I think we have to deal with it scientifically at first from the perspective of what is seen and understood about atmospheric conditions, but I have no doubt that when the entire planet has reached a more peaceable state and the inner friction between soul and personality has been reduced, that we will also see a degree of peace coming to nature. Well, you know, there have been some really trying things that have happened. And I read recently that Bangladesh was one-third underwater. This very impoverished nation, one-third underwater. And probably we've been focused on the Houston situation, and now another hurricane brewing in the Atlantic, Irma. And I was just thinking, you know, I was mentioning to Tuya and that it's ire, the ire of the mother, Irma. If we abuse our natural situation, the balance of nature will be restored in ways that are apparently quite harmful to humanity. But we've seen also some beautiful responses of heroism and selflessness emerge. So sometimes it seems to take some pretty dire circumstances to bring the best out of humanity. I'm thinking about also the war where people were under threat. Of course, it's been a warring century. But I'm thinking of the continuation of the Great War from 1914 through 1945 and how under threat of death, execution, and so forth, so many people did heroic things on behalf of their fellow human beings and demonstrating the opposite of that vortex of hatred, demonstrating true selfless love. And that's what we're looking for. You know, when we visualize the mists and the swirls and the dark places on the astral plane, it's the sun of light, the sun of love, the sun of the divine will, which has to shine forth on that plane, reflecting as it does the Buddhic plane, reflecting the higher mental plane, the monadic plane, and help to dissipate the glamour which basically blinds people to reality. We don't want to walk around in a state, do we, which is blinded to reality because our emotions hold sway, however subtly, over our perceptions and our thought process. We don't want to be the victims of Kama Manas. We want to have the pure loving Kama, and we want to have an enlightened Manas. And the mixture of these two has caused a lot of trouble for humanity, so they cannot distinguish one from another. Well, there are a few more paragraphs here, and actually I've been looking up this subject and continuing with it because there is a kind of repulsion that goes on between human beings. It's not based upon the soul. If it were based upon soul light and soul love, there might be the attempt to correct certain personality states, but there would not be a hate-filled repulsion that wants to see the destruction of the other, the elimination of the other, as if that other were not a part of oneself. A great irritation arises, which turns into hatred. You want to eliminate this other factor which disturbs your psychological comfort, your personal comfort. And it's not based on understanding at all, and it's certainly not based on loving understanding, the great second ray ability. So we have to see beyond the things which disturb us about another person and which run counter to our own tendencies and challenge our comfort zones, and we have to see beyond that into the causes of those conditions, and perhaps we'll learn something about ourselves as well and what we may be protecting with our own comfort zones. So I'll read some paragraphs here and make some commentary on them, and if you know just notice what is being said here in the various references, and if you want to say something about it or question something about it, when we come to our opportunity to do that, then you can do so. Just make a note. Last time we talked about this wonderful section about the blessed ones, which we all are essentially in our monadic nature, and all the various paradoxes about how the monad manifests and yet is above and beyond what we normally call manifestation, and how it is that we can attain the bliss that the blessed ones experience. It ends with that beautiful sort of injunction, "Therefore be full of joy, O pilgrim on the way towards enlightened being. For gain and loss are one. Darkness and light eternally reveal the true. Love and desire eternally invoke the life. Naught disappears but pain. Nothing remains but bliss. The bliss of knowledge true, of contact real, of light divine, the way to God." We must say that those are some of the most encouraging words you could ever read in our great teaching. It seems it's a total win-win situation. No matter what happens, the result can be an increase of light, love, and divine power. So I've recommended that everybody understand and know where this section is found in Esoteric Psychology 2, even though I may not have shown it here. But anyway, somewhere in the, I think in the 30s or so of Esoteric Psychology 2, you can find this wonderful section on the Blessed One. Now we're going on to other paragraphs, and we will think with the Tibetan. He's encouraging us to think with him and try to understand the root causes of this repulsive energy, repelling and repulsive, which is causing so much difficulty in the human family, which should be increasingly a united family living according to spiritual values. He says, clear thinking, you know, obviously any type of mind can think clearly, but we use a lot of the fifth ray in the Ajna Center here as we attempt to dissipate glamour. A clear appraisal of causes, you know, when you want to assess cause and effect, it's the fifth ray so often, which is operative, not exclusively, but, you know, everyone has the fifth ray. We can all learn to use it. It's the manas of man. It's the, in a way, the personality ray of the human kingdom at this moment. We're all endowed with it. So what does he want from us? Clear thinking, a clear appraisal. Notice the word clear, right? A clear appraisal of causes and a loving outgoing to all. You know, where that love is an expansive, outreaching energy. We're not hiding our love under a bushel, as it were. And a loving outgoing to all should distinguish all disciples at this time. So, you know, whenever we read a paragraph from Master D.K., we can measure ourselves against the requirements and just see if we sustain these requirements, which are meant to be characteristic of all disciples at this time. Where this attitude does not exist, there's ever the danger of absorption into the vortex of hatred and separativeness. Boy, those are powerful words, and probably we don't even realize we're being absorbed when we are. And a vortex is very interesting because it has a separative effect. This rotary motion, or spinning on one's own axis, tends to separate that which spins from the environing conditions. So I suppose there are expansive vortices and contractive vortices. Obviously, this is a contractive vortex. Absorption into the vortex of hatred and separativeness, and a divorcing, notice these separative words, of the person by this, even if only temporarily, from the vortex of love. And that's what we want to be involved in, is this expanding, inclusive vortex of love, where, you know, we may not like what we encounter, and it may be counter to the plan, but we do recognize the soul behind it all and can realize that eventually the outer demonstration will reflect the inner unity. So if this should happen to us, it would spell danger and glamour. Separativeness, you see, the illusion, it is the great heresy. And it's very subtle, and we have to catch ourselves being separative, because it may just be the way we think and the way we are, and we don't see anything particularly wrong with it, maybe not even particularly separative about it. But if we are really have the attitude of the observer, we can catch ourselves being separative and thinking in an individualistic manner, individualism, instead of in a truly individual manner. The word individual means non-divisible in a way, but the connotation has taken over that it means separativeness. But I do want to distinguish between individualism and individuality, and I think the second of those two reflects the tendency not to divide one human being from another, even when the behaviors really offend. D.K. has told us there are evil personalities, but he didn't say there are evil souls, and eventually the soul will win, you know, on this planet, in this solar system, or in very serious cases, in another solar system altogether, but there will be victory. So we will avoid, hopefully, these dangers of the great heresy of separativeness leading to the glamour of hatred. The very fact that disciples are all so pronouncedly individual intensifies their reactions, good and bad. We tend to have become very accustomed to our way of reacting to things, and because of the familiarity of it, we think it's correct. And we exaggerate our reactions as if they are correct. And as a result, we fall into a still more separative condition. So analyze those factors of your life where you think that the tendency towards separativeness may be appearing. And if it gets extreme enough, it will lead to that repulsion that we call hatred. And it's not pleasant to look at. It may be rather repressed, as D.K. says to one of his better disciples, you might say, a truly serving disciple, but he said to her, well, you have an almost inhibited hatred, which you will not admit to yourself. It's hard to uncover these layers of malfunction. So anyway, let us enter the great expansive, inclusive vortex of love and avoid being sucked into the vortex of hatred, with which endangers us as souls and leads us into glamour, the most powerful of the three heads of the dog, you know, the dog from hell, Cerebus, so we might just say illusion, glamour, and Maya. But glamour is the most powerful, just as in the Great War, Germany was the most powerful. It represented glamour. He said, Italy represents illusion and Japan Maya, but none so strong as Germany in that particular succumbing And of course, it was easy enough to succumb, just a little side astrological sidetrack here, because the personality sign of Germany is Pisces, that extremely impressionable sign, which is akin to glamour and can be easily impressed by the lower astral plane, of course, the higher astral plane as well. So Germany had that natural tendency, in addition to the appropriation of the warlike tendencies of the sign Aries, which rules its soul. You can use a soul sign in the wrong way. We all do it. We can use a soul ray in the wrong way. And in this particular case, Germany really succumbed to the glamour of aggression and to a very type, a high type of idealism, at least they thought it was high, and made an excellent target for the designs of the Black Lodge, which sought to defeat humanity at the close of the Piscean Age. Okay, so here's another paragraph, important one. It calls us all to order and asks us to do our part. I challenge all workers and all members of the new group of world servers. Let's see if I can make this a little, yeah, to leave their personal problems behind. Well, how often, we are burdened by our personal problems. It's almost such a natural response, especially if you have a lot of the second ray, because he says it's the ray that tends toward the glamour of self-pity, where you exaggerate the things you are passing through and how difficult your life may be, poor me, the poor me attitude. So he leave our personal problems behind, forgetting the things which lie behind, will strive toward my higher spiritual possibilities. I dedicate myself anew to the service of the coming one and will do all I can to prepare men's minds and hearts for that event. I have no other life intention. Tuya and I had this, reappearance of the Christ meditation. This, not this morning, it was yesterday, but every time it leaves you with a sense of how we must press forward beyond the limitations that we indulge when we think of our own problems and how severe they are. So leave the personal problems behind. This is a time of crisis. Well, we're not out of it, believe me. This may have been written, closer to the war, which was, many people consider it the great Armageddon. Others say that Armageddon has not yet occurred. In Agni Yoga, they tend to look at the Second World War as the Armageddon. Well, I hope they're right. This is a time of crisis, and such problems must be solved through complete self-forgetfulness. Whoa. And that's a great demand, isn't it? Because how many of us are really successful in self-forgetfulness, in complete self-forgetfulness? It goes along with what I would call self-remembrance, with a capital S. If we remember ourselves as the soul and even as the monad, the one, then it'll be a lot easier to forget ourselves as if our identity were invested in our personality. So we have to learn to disidentify from our personality. And after long ages, millions of years of identifying with the personal form, it's a very tough sell. How easily can we do it? How many of us really want to do it? How many of us practice doing it? Anyway, complete self-forgetfulness, and he does mean forgetfulness of the personality and its reactions, not forgetfulness of our soul nature. I ask you to work afresh, anew, with fresh ardor. That's a burning enthusiasm, right? With fresh ardor in joyful service, forgetting past weaknesses and failures. We've all had them. In the urgency of that which I ask all to do for the world. That urgency has not abated. That urgency has not stopped. That urgency is with us. Maybe when you look at the nuclear idiocy that's going on in the world today, we realize this is a great urgency. Madame Rorick said, looking at Satan in the negative sense, not as the solar angels, she says, well, Satan desires to see on Earth a great explosion and to float away on the wreck. I'll quote that oftentimes, but poof, it fits with what Master DK said. Humanity has to watch out that a great explosion does not occur. So anyway, forgetting what is lesser, truly sacrificing what is lesser, and that is demonstrating our sense of proportion, isn't it? Which we have to have in order to divest ourselves of glamour and then to throw ourselves into what needs to be done for the world. There has been much lack of joy in the service rendered to the world lately. Maybe sort of plodding along, doing what you think is necessary, but not really, lit up with the joy of the project. And when I speak thus, I refer not to happiness, which is a personality reaction, but to that joyous confidence in the law and in the hierarchy which lies behind the biblical words, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I think that's a discrimination which all of us have to apply ourselves to and really learn the difference between personal happiness and a deep soul identification, which is untrammeled joy with confidence in the great law and confidence in the Lord, our soul, and confidence in the Lord of hierarchy, the Christ, and in Sanat Kumara. So much of it is a realization of where identity really lies and where the great victory shall come from. Then he enjoins us, rise up and fight, Arjuna. Well, we're Arjuna, are we not? We have a fourth-rate kingdom here, and the Battle of Kurukshetra was a great fourth-ray event, probably occurring in the fourth sub-race of the fourth root race, the ray of battle, the fourth ray. Rise up and fight, Arjuna, preserving the flame of love intact. Now, that's the hard part, right? To fight without hatred, permitting no breath of hate to disturb the serenity of love or upset that inner poise which will enable you to sound forth the clarion note of world understanding. We can't do it when we hate, obviously. That clarion note which that will rally all men and women of goodwill to the aid of hierarchy. So, sometimes I'm just so impressed by the exhortative ability of the Tibetan, his ability to say things that just arouse the enthusiasm of all of us and say, yes, we will do that. I think the Tibetan, throughout his life, he did have, I think, quite a bit of that sixth ray energy, which could enthuse him, the breathing in of a god, enthusiasm, and enthuse others. And if we can sound this clarion note among those whom we contact. I love this. Preserving the flame of love intact. Imagine fighting while preserving the flame of love intact. Yes, we're going to defeat, we're going to beat those forces which want to drag humanity down, but we do not cease to love. That's the amazing thing. Permitting no breath of hate to disturb the serenity of love or upset the inner poise. That's part of harmlessness, isn't it? One of the great factors of harmlessness is a true poise. It's a very Libran thing that will rally all men and women of goodwill to the aid of the hierarchy. This will bring to an end all. Now, this is the sentence I was talking about. This will bring to an end all hatred, separativeness, and aggression, which are the three major sins of humanity. Now, hatred. It's like the devil. It's on the first ray. Separativeness. One of the great faults of the second ray is to sense the whole and yet remain apart. He talks about this in esoteric psychology when he's listing the transitions that the second ray type and other ray types go through as they take their negativities and turn them into positive attributes. And aggression, you want what the other guy has, and you're going to get it, you see. They all have this first ray quality to them, but it's like the first, second, and third sub-rays of the first ray. So if we can sound this clarion note of understanding, if we can rise, forgetting the things which lie behind, really rise to the occasion, all hatred, separativeness, and aggression will disappear. So, you know, just for a moment, think. You know, it's easy to gloss over. It's easy to gloss over if we want to be superficial, but do we hate? And if we do, what do we hate? And is it in ourselves, really, and prompting us to hate? And are we separative? Are there any ways in disciples and aspirants, usually fairly subtle, where we are demonstrating separativeness? And do we want what the other person has? You know, do we have envy? Do we have jealousy? Do we have the desire to acquire that which we have not earned and want to simply take that from someone else? You know, it's thievery, really. We have to, the Yoga Sutras tell us we have to have the absence of avarice. We cannot covet what the other one has because we have to earn all these things ourselves. First, second, and third ray. Well, and you know, the three great diseases, cancer, heart disease, tuberculosis, he talks about how these are related to the first, second, and third ray, and I'll bet we can relate them to these major sins. So I would just encourage everybody to really go inside with seriousness and, you know, not just gloss over the possibility, but it has to begin with us, right? So do I hate, and where do I hate, and in what way do I manifest separativeness, and do I move with aggression? Not, you know, we may move with aggression in the world of ideas, in the world of thoughts, claiming what is not really ours. Plagiarism, you know, things like that, where we steal from other people what originates with them. It doesn't have to be taking physical property from another. For a disciple or an aspirant, it's much more subtle. So, test yourself on these points, you know, take some minutes out and be sincere and be perceptive and test yourself. All men have hated, he says. All men have been separative in both thought and action. Of course, he includes himself, you know, he knows his history. All have been, and many still, are materialistic, full of pride, and the desire to gain that which is not their own by right. So, you know, watch out for the color green, you know. the green of envy, the jealousy, the green-eyed monster, as it is said in Shakespeare. Watch out for that. It may be subtle, you know, when you. But Ralph Waldo Emerson, he wrote some essays, some wonderful essays. They used to call him the Boston Brahmin, you know. He had some. He was a minister, yeah, but he had great wisdom from the East, and he just arrived at the conclusion that men will one day understand that all covetousness, envy, jealousy, it's all foolishness. You have to earn for yourself whatever you would have. There's no way to take from another and have it really stick with you and be yours. It can't be yours if you're not ready to have it. So he goes on to say, the spirit of acquisitiveness belongs to no one group. It has been a universal and general fault. It's based on a deep inferiority complex, really, you know, the idea that somehow we cannot have that which another person has. We don't see the way clear to developing it within ourselves, and yet we can. So it's been a universal and general fault and has produced the present disastrous economic situation. You know, the rich and the poor and those who are part of the glut and those who have far too little to live. It has produced the present disastrous economic situation, thus precipitating the world into war, hate, and cruelty. And this is from The Externalization of the Hierarchy, page 172 and 73, a very practical and wonderful book. Well, you know, I think, you know, there's enough there for us to think about. I'm just going to say that this is the end of a text reading for Doggy, yeah, number 46. And today is the 1st of September. We're in Virgo. The full moon is coming up. Remember to join us, if you possibly can, for the pre-full moon on the night of the 5th and for the actual exact moment full moon on the morning of the 6th. I'm talking about GMT morning and evening. And next time let's see if I can get this correct. We will beginning of text reading. I'm sorry, I'd like to learn how to type here. Doggy number 47. And that will be on the 8th of September. And it's going to be again in the evening, because that will be in the evening. And then we'll see about switching back and forth to keep up with the general ask program. Okay. So, friends, we've discussed different perspectives on the idea of the sins of humanity and what hatred looks like and how it has to come to an end. Is one of the very first things that has to be eliminated, this repulsion based upon personality like and dislike. If you read Rule 11 in the Rays and Initiations, the Advanced Rules for Disciples and Initiates, you'll see that this idea of liking and disliking has to be eliminated before any progress can be made. So now I'm going to open the floor up, and I know, yes, there are some things people want to say, and I want to make sure that you have a chance to say them all before we go into our meditation. So let's see, where are we here?
Michael?
Yes, Brett. Yes.
Isabel has a written comment.
Okay. Let's see if I can find that. Aha, right. Okay. Thank you, Brett. Go to pain. Okay. Yes, self-remembrance is the most encouraging formula to help us stand in spiritual being. I agree, Isabel. It just depends on what we mean by the self. And this discovery of what the self really is, that's a big issue. If we are fixated on the lower self, we have a real identity problem. It's a real problem with mistaken identity. So this whole pursuit in Vedanta and in Buddhism and in all of the great world religions, finally, from their mystical and occult perspective, is all about figuring out, and being who we are, stand as spiritual being. The fighting mentality is typically Atlantean. Yes, it's interesting though. DK said to his disciples, a lot of whom had the fourth ray mind, and he said, it's very important, the fourth ray mind in my work. He said, see that you battle. So, as a member of the fourth creative hierarchy, and as a member of the fourth kingdom of nature, we're a long way from the friction, from resolving the frictions. But when we resolve them in the correct way, then the intuition comes in and reveals the truth. So the little lord who longs to fight or loves to fight, he talks about the fourth ray mind in that way. I guess there are righteous battles and there are fruitless battles. So let's see. There's a whole lot of them we could leave behind. I agree with you there. As the mantra you said, forgetting the things which lie behind. And if it's that for us, if we are involved in this battle over inconsequential things and fighting for the prerogatives of the personality against the soul, yes, these are things which we must leave behind. And yet, there's always an and yet thrown in somewhere here. In the Great War, the hierarchy had to take sides. It was a repeat of the war in Atlantis, she said, only on a higher turn of the spiral. And the same leaders were present, leading the opposing forces. And that's an astonishing thought. So let's just see what we have to battle over and choose our battles wisely. Because on this particular planet, as adjudicators between the pairs of opposites, we're not going to escape without a good battle, but let it be a wise one. And we, and let it always lead to harmony. That's why it's called the ray of harmony through conflict. So I agree there are many Atlantean attitudes we have to transcend. It's a sort of a sixth ray, fourth ray civilization. And by cultivating, you say, a loving understanding mentality indeed on the second ray, that implies, as I mentioned, clear thinking, because the fifth ray and the second ray go along very well together. If we're really going to absorb what the solar angel has to offer, it's very much a combination of the second ray and the fourth ray. A fifth ray. And the fourth ray is not out of the picture either because of the harmonization that will occur. There's a, gosh, what's it called? It's the seven, it's the seven laws, and the fourth law has a lot to do with what the solar angels do. The law of cohesion and the law of disintegration, and there's another one there that is very important for the fourth ray and the solar angels. Anyway, rays 2, 5, and 4 have a lot to do with solar angelic influence, even though they're found on all the rays. But I'm speaking generically. So, let's transmute the Atlantean attitude by cultivating loving understanding mentality. And there's a lot about Venus there, isn't there? Giving to the concrete mind the principle of love. And if you go to Esoteric Psychology 1 and the names of the ray lords, you're going to see some beautiful, beautiful names for the fifth ray lord, just filled with love, showing the connection to Venus. Clear thinking and a clear appraisal of causes so as to radiate the light of the soul, which dissipates glamour, dispels illusion, and disempowers Maya. Yes, right. He says devitalization, disempowerment, same thing. Thank you, Michael, for helping us in the clear, cold light of the soul. Do my best, do my best. Okay, thank you very much, Isabella. And I think Livy is offering us here something that we should go to Facebook. Livy, do you want to say anything about that? Because I know I got a little letter from you that basically talked about what was available on the net. So here we go, and you're on if you want to talk about
Okay, good. Hi, Michael. Hi, everyone.
Had to be.
Yes. something I wanted to share with the group, because there is a good daily posting about glamour on a Facebook group. In fact, there are many of the books online on Facebook, and there is a glamour group. So each day you can get a daily posting about a section of DK's teachings about glamour. And it's a really great reminder to be thinking about this way. And also you can use this link that I just shared. Brett, maybe you can put it on the bigger screen. But so many of DK's books are posted on Facebook. There is a group of three disciples who are doing this service work. And you can sign up for the ones that you're interested in and each day get a paragraph or two of about those books. So it's just a great way to start your day or have this in your day, these thoughts from DK. And one of the books I just want to share, and this is what I'd sent to you, Michael, because I thought this was so encouraging. There is one Facebook page called DK and the Tibetan. And this is a collection of different teachings each day from many of the books. And in that group, there are 9,354 followers. So I think that's just terrific to know that there's that many people focused in this arena on DK. And of course, many, many more, I'm sure. But I don't know 9,000 people. So I just thought, hey, that's really terrific to know.
Yeah, that's great that is so. Yeah, that's great. We need people to be aware of what Master DK is saying, and we need them to study and apply these things. Let's see. So this is it here. Maybe I was trying to make it a little bigger, but it was kind of not succeeding. But let's see if I can do that here. There we go.
Michael?
Yeah, Brett, yes?
I put it in the chat box so that people can simply click on the link.
Fantastic. All right. Excellent. That's great.
I have it in the main body, too. So thank you, Michael. That's great.
Okay.
And again, all these things that are our daily reminders that just kind of sometimes bring us the thing, just the thing, you know, that we need to hear in our own lives and keep us focused on the highest. So thank you, everybody.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, the movement is growing, shall we say, and I guess you could say that we're, you know, part of a, as they have referred to it, creative minority, you know, trying to make a very occult application of these matters, and you know, hopefully, what we all do together in our own way. Popularizing, spreading it. You see, actually, it's very interesting. You know, he talked about the methods of service. And when you get such a spreading of the wisdom, it's under the third ray. It's called the popularization of it, and it goes out with the media, etc. And he talked about the smaller second ray groups, which are like seeds of intensity through which the occult work is done. So I think that's, you know, somewhat where we are. At this point, but it's very good to realize and to understand that the word is getting out there. So that's very happy about that. And maybe you know, we can go there, and maybe they'll also become aware of our efforts as well, and can join some of what we are doing. Good. Okay. Other thoughts, other questions that you may have.
Not at the moment,
yeah. Well, you know, I think really the important thing is to examine ourselves and make sure that we are relatively clear of the very thing we attempt to improve in the world consciousness. You know, it's a bit like... Well, you know, you can't, in the old days they did. They would maybe come from working on the farm and or out in the woodshed or whatever, and the doctor would go right into the operation without washing his hands. It's not very good for the welfare of the patient, and many of them died from the infection that was brought. So we have to make sure that we're as clean and clear on these matters, on the personal matters, as we possibly can be, and to detect our own glamours, you know, through observation as a soul-infused mind. And I'm sure there are people around us who will be more than happy to advise us as to what they consider to be our glamours, and then to work on them so that we are a more fitting instrument in the hands of the master, and a better type of group member attempting to achieve this dissipation of world glamour. This is an ongoing thing. It's not going to wrap up right away, you know. The first job is to clear the etheric plane. And if we study Rule 10 in the Rays and the Initiations, he gives us some very, very powerful meditations. One meditation in particular, formulas for the clearing of the etheric plane and the driving out of all of the refuse in the various etheric courts, and the devitalization, you might say, of the various veils of Maya. And after that will come the real concerted attack on world glamour. We don't know how far into the future it will be, but certainly Mercury will be powerful, Venus will be powerful, and the mind of humanity will be much transformed. Right now, we drive a lot back onto the astral plane, and later we'll have to go to the astral plane directly in large numbers. And humanity will stand in the spiritual will, in massed intent, as they say, and the major attack on glamour will be made during the Aquarian Age. Now, whether we'll get rid of it all, you know, I don't want to be overly optimistic. People are going through all different stages of evolution, and some, you know, submission or acquiescence to the glamorous tendencies is just a natural thing, unfortunately. But the more we weaken it in the world, the less the tendency will be for people to succumb to these glamours. So we're doing future humanity and the reincarnated aspects of ourselves in the future a favor by doing some of this advanced work in advance of the major attack on glamour that will be mounted during the Aquarian Age. The Christ, of course, you know, he represents the middle principle, and the astral body is the middle vehicle, and we have here a blend of air and water. When we look at the sign Aquarius, conditions are ripe for cleaning out the Augean stables. You know, in the labors of Hercules, what he had to go through to do that, the accumulated filth of millions of years, conditions are ripe to clear the etheric plane significantly, and to attack glamour in such a way that it becomes far less a danger to humanity. It's not over yet, but and then will come the battle with illusion. We're not there yet because we don't have enough mentally polarized human beings, but we will, and that attack will also occur. And meanwhile, the advance guard, you know, assuming the disciples, initiates, and so forth, can make their small but concerted attack on glamour and illusion. Okay, then, if we're, let's see, I want to make sure I don't forget anybody. And we seem to be in pretty good shape here. Good. All right, well, thank you very much, friends, for being here. And now we get into the actual work. You know, there's the work of understanding, the work of study, and then there is also this service work, which is the work of meditation. So that's what we're dealing with right now, and we'll start there as soon as I can find it. Okay, there we go. All right. So we'll come together again as an increasingly soul-infused group. And we, in the silence, we realize that we're all together in this as representatives of the soul of the new group of world servers. It's not so much as individuals that we're doing this, but we're striving to be members of this federated group that has the higher spiritual values in mind and we'll apply them. So we'll feel our togetherness here representing the new group of world servers. And we're certainly, you know, more of us gathered here than the nine people of DK's various seed groups. But the seed is sprouting and more people are working together in this way. So, with mutual gratitude to all of us for this work. Now we're going to work with this protective formula and see that radiating cross. He wouldn't give it to us if it was not necessary. This is the most contaminated area on the physical earth, the astral plane, and it's part of that dense physical body of the planetary logos. So we have to work in light, and we'll, you know, use this particular cross that he tells us about involving center of the forehead and the center of the chest and the eyes. And we'll see that cross radiating, this cross of divinity, as he calls it. And let's see, I also thought that we might be able to work on this. Tuya, would you like to give the finish for this when I finish with the English part, if you wish? Okay, yes, all right, I'll do that. Okay, and then it has to be on and off, okay? So first of all, I'll do it when it's time to speak. So, here we go. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light, and from that point, I never move. And then
sieluna minä työskentelen valossa, kosketa otsaasi. Eikä pimeys voi minua koskettaa, kosketa sydäntäsi. Otan paikkani valossa, vasen silmä. Teen työtä, enkä siitä koskaan pois siirry, oikea silmä.
And so we each one of us sees this radiating cross of light.
Ja jokainen näkee edessään säteilevän valon ristin.
And now we're going to pass through the preparatory stages. There is the light of ether and matter and the light of mind, so we focus these two lights together on the mental plane, the light of ether and matter and the light of the lower mind.
Eli nyt yhdistämme kaksi valoa, eetteri valoon sekä mentaalisen valoon.
And then get the feeling of that, these things coming together on the plane of mind, and then we meditate on soul contact and on the recognition of soul light, which we're going to bring down, but first make it real to yourself, the recognition, the touching of soul.
Nyt tunnistat sen, kuinka nämä kaksi valoa yhdistyvät mentaalitasolla ja sitten yhdistät itsesi sielun valoon.
So try to feel this light of the soul. And now we're going to bring this very real light of the soul down onto the lower mental plane and merge it with the light of mind and the light of matter.
Ja nyt viemme sielun valon alemman mielen tasolle, jossa se yhdistyy näihin kahteen kaksinaiseen valoon.
So visualize the merging of the three lights and make this, feel it, make it very real to yourself.
Ja tee itsellesi erittäin selkeäksi ja todelliseksi tämä kolmen valon yhdistyminen.
Now, we're going to say the mantra. We'll say it first in English and then in Finnish, then we'll follow with the three ohms. And as you say it, you visualize. The light is one, and in that light shall we see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day.
Visualisoi samalla, kun toistat mielessäsi perässäni. Valo on yksi, ja siinä valossa näemme valon.
Oh. Now, we're going to use the formula, and we will say together these two lines first in English. And as you say, you visualize that our triple light has become a great searchlight, which extends out onto the astral plane. Radiance are we and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth, the inner world of meaning and the subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus, with the light we work and turn the darkness into day.
Ja nyt kolme valoa on yhdistynyt suureksi valokeilaksi, joka kohdistuu astraalitasolle. Ja mielessäsi visualisoi, ja jos pystyt toista. Säteily olemme ja voima. Seisomme ikuisesti ojennetuin käsin, yhdistäen taivaan ja maan, tarkoituksen sisäisen maailman ja harhan hiuksen hienon maailman. Kurkotamme valon ja tuomme sen alas täyttämään tarpeen. Kurkotamme hiljaiseen paikkaan ja tuomme sieltä ymmärryksen lahjan. Näin työskentelemme valon kanssa ja muutamme pimeyden valoksi.
So we are bridges between the higher worlds, higher than the lower 18 subplanes. And we bring this higher energy down into the area which needs restorative attention.
Ja nyt olemme tuoneet valon alas, kolminaisen valon, jonka suhteen työskentelemme.
Now, we have our beam, visualize that, and we're going to strengthen that beam with the spiritual will derived mainly from the atmic plane. And as we do that, we are going to say the mantra. So first, in English, visualizing the strengthening of our, well, it's really a destructive beam, destructive as far as glamour is concerned. Here we go. With power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal.
Ja nyt vahvistamme. Ajattele, että tahto vahvistaa tilannetta atmiselta tasolta, kun lausut. Säteessään olevalla voimalla valo on kohdistunut maaliinsa.
So we have coming forth from the Group Action Center and representing three different lights, a great dissipative beam of light.
Ja nyt näen nämä kolmen yhdistynyt valo, joka tulee ulos asnakeskuksestasi ja joka on suunnattu.
Now we're using the words of power to combat the great glamour of hatred. And so we'll go through these words of power, and you visualize this happening as you say these sentences. You're going to see the glamour being weakened, and then the glamour being dissipated, and the clear light of the sun of love, of light, and of spiritual will shine on the astral plane. So here we go. We say together, the power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of hatred. The power of our united light negates the quality of that glamour from affecting humanity. The power of our united light destroys the life behind the glamour.
Eli nyt ensin heikennämme visualisoinnissa harhan ja sen jälkeen näemme harhan haihtumisen seuraan mukana. Yhdistetyn valomme voima estää vihan harhan ilmentymisen. Yhdistyneen valomme voima tekee tyhjäksi harhan laadun ja sen vaikutuksen ihmiskuntaan. Yhdistyneen valomme voima hävittää harhan takana olevan elämän.
Now using these three words of power and your creative imagination, we're going to have 5 minutes of silence and intensity of purpose while we see this work proceeding, the work of weakening and dissipating the glamour and the great sun shining forth on the clarified astral plane.
Ja nyt 5 minuutin hiljaisuus, jossa toimimme tuon ennen mainittujen ohjeiden ja askelten mukaan. Eli ensin näemme, kuinka harha vähenee, sen jälkeen se kokonaan häviää ja sen jälkeen kirkas aurinko ottaa tilan.
So we enter our silence and we use our imagination. And so the great sun of light, of love, and of divine will shines upon the astral plane, and the dark clouds of separativeness and hatred are seen as dissipated.
Tuo suuri valon ja rakkauden ja henkisen tahdon aurinko säteilee nyt astraalitasolle ja näemme erillisyyden ja vihan harhan hävinneen.
Draw, we withdraw our beam from the astral plane, we withdraw it back onto the mental plane, and we temporarily turn off this searchlight of the soul.
Ja nyt vedämme tämän valokeilan takaisin mentaalitasolle ja välillisesti ikään kuin sammutamme tuon sielun valon.
And now, confirming the work we have done, the work we have attempted to do, we sound the Om 3 times.
Ja nyt ikään kuin sulkien tämän tehtävän ja työn, jonka olemme tehneet, vahvistaen tuon työn, jonka olemme tehneet, lausumme Om 3.
Thank you, friends, for being with us, and continue your work on your own individual glamours. Don't let that slide away from you, because we all have much purification to pass through. So tomorrow morning we will continue our work with the soul of nations. And then on Sunday, we will work with the reappearance, rather the attracting money for hierarchical purposes.
Eli huomenna jatkamme 8 aamulla sielujen, kansojen sielun mietiskelyssä.
Thank you very much for being here. It's a long-term process. As I said, the main attack of humanity, more enlightened than now, standing with spiritual intent, will occur probably several hundred years ahead. And we will be part of it. No one's leaving immediately. And we will work together to clean the Augean stables of humanity. So thank you for being here with us, and we will work tomorrow morning, 5 a.m. GMT, the soul of nations.
Ja sama kuten äsken, eli huomenna tavataan kello 8 Suomen aikaa kansojen sielun ja toiminnan puitteissa. Kiitos kaikille läsnäolosta ja osallistumisesta.
Bye for now.